food and get a harvest like nobody's business. Then you'd have another particular family that couldn't plant anything. Everything they plant, they just burned up or whatever the case, they mess up. But in the same token, though, they couldn't plant anything, but man, you mess with them, oh, they were the fighting family. Come on, anybody ever had them families, you know, growing up, there was a fighting family. Yeah. I mean, so you had this warrior type family. So you have these two families with these two different distinctions. You got this one that can really, you know, produce a lot of food. But watch this. They lose half of it because people come and slap them in the face and steal it because they can't fight. Then you got the other family. Watch this. Ain't nobody slapping them in the face. But after a while, they can't fight because they're hungry. So families would come together. Abraham knew this. Families would come together and say, you know what? Tell you what. If anybody ever comes to attack you, I will be there first. Whoever has to deal with you now is going to have to deal with me. Then the other family say, well, you know what? You will never go hungry another day in your life. I will always make sure that you and your family have more than enough to eat. And they will make a covenant. Oftentimes now, this covenant now is exchanged in blood. Maybe they're slicing part of the hands, you know, where their blood, and they mingle the blood, you know, together, because that was to be this eternal sign to say, if I don't perform what I've just vowed today, you have the right now to kill me. And everybody in my family, they took it extremely serious. So God, when he sees Abraham struggling here with fear, even though he's giving him vision, God says, I'm going to do something for you because I know you understand this language. I'm going to cut covenant with you. And then God tells Abram, says, now go get me some carcasses of these particular animals. Split them in half. Let the blood, you know, be there, so forth. And when Abraham does this, he's getting this notion of what God is all about. That, oh my goodness, God is cutting covenant with me. Now watch this. What could Abraham provide back to God? See, watch this. Any covenant with God is one-sided. What we can bring to the table versus what God is bringing to the table just does not compare. But God says, because I love you so, I don't care about that. I just want you to know that I got you. Thank you, gentlemen. Please give them a hand. Covenant is how God responds to our struggle of fear. He wants us to understand that he has us. And then he secures it in this place of blood. Now, the problem with covenant is, for humans at least, is that we tend to fail at it. So when one party fails the covenant really is kind of broken and done. So God looked at us and says, you know what, just making covenant directly, you know, with humanity is always going to be an issue. So he said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a covenant with myself. I'm going to take a part of me, deposit it into a dirt suit from a baby in a womb growing up into a man. And I'm going to cut that covenant with my son, with the incarnate Christ. So I'm going to cut this covenant. And this is what we see taking place with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. This is a covenant enactment where now God is saying, I am committed to always be there for you. And Jesus said, I'm going to do what no one else can do. I'm going to relinquish my blood to bring us into covenant. And then God, watch this, God's just so clever. He says, now when you do that, not only will I be there for you as my son, but any others who will connect themselves with you will get the same benefit. Any others that now say, yes, Jesus is my Lord, I'll treat them just like they're you. They'll get the same presence. They'll get the same power. They'll get the same provision. They'll get the same peace. They'll get the same prosperity. They'll get the same thing. Watch this. Without the requirements. My goodness, our God is good. Come on, we didn't have to shed any blood. We didn't have to shed any blood. He shed the blood for us, and we get the benefits of his shed blood. And God says, understand why I do covenant, though, is to obliterate and get rid of all fear. Someone say it with me, no fear here. There's an interesting element there in Genesis chapter 15, in verse 11, that when God has Abraham setting up these covenant elements, verse 11, just out of nowhere, comes in and says this: some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abraham chased them away. Just a little interesting side note right in there. Some vultures tried to swoop down to take the covenant elements. Abraham said, oh, no, no, no. He chased them away. Listen. You have to learn how to protect your covenant elements. Your tithe, your offering, that's a covenant element. Your time devoted to God, that's a covenant element. Your talent now that you present unto God, that's a covenant element. And there will always be vultures of life that will try to swoop down and say, no, you can't do that. And you have to have a spirit just like Abraham that says, oh, no, not so. Get out of here. I will protect my covenant elements because everything in my life is formed around my covenant with Christ. Protect those elements. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 6. When we understand covenant well, we allow it to drive away the fear. When we understand covenant well, it helps to really keep our mind steady. Has anyone other than me ever had those experiences where it felt like your mind was about to go tilt? Come on, you was dealing with this, you was dealing with this, like, oh, you wanted to scream, you wanted to slap somebody all together. I guess it was just me. Oh, no, I got a couple of honest people, you know, in the house. And God says the way to keep you from going there is come back to covenant. Come back to covenant. I've established covenant with you to drive away the fear and to keep your mind steady. Hebrews chapter 6 bears this out for us. It says, now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. Come on now, you remember, I swear to God, I'm going to pay you back. You ain't paying back the first time, but I swear to God this time. And without any question, the oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath. Watch this, he swore by himself. God looked around. Come on, we're looking around for someone greater, and so we go to the top. We say, I swear to God. God looked around and said, well, I'm going to swear too. I swear by me, because there is none greater. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure. Come on now. See, this is the mental realm. Perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. Oh, I love that. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, watch this. We who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Come on. You can have great confidence in the midst of challenging circumstances. You can still have great confidence. My God's got me. I may not be able to see the way out, but I already know God's made a way out. And I trust him. And the last part of it says, this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor. Come on, the anchor is what holds that ship in place. Keeps it from just drifting off, you know, by the waves of life. The anchor, you got to drop the anchor. The anchor is the covenant. And your and my embracing of that covenant keeps us steady, keeps us strong, keeps our minds from going tilt. And now watch this. Let me set you up. Let me make sure you're prepared for something. Anytime you kind of start to grab hold of God's word on something, the enemy's core tactic is to try to come apply some pressure to it to see if he can scare you out of letting it go. So I'm telling you right now, you're going to look up at something and it's just like, oh my goodness, where did this come from? Hold your ground. I prophesy to you in the beginning of it, before it ever happens, hold your ground. Continue to stay in faith. Remember the covenant and see the rewards of Almighty God. Hold it. Abraham does something that I find almost unexplainable. In Genesis chapter 22, many are familiar with it. God tells Abram, says, I want you to take your son, your only son, the one that I gave you, Isaac. And I want you to take him, and I want you to go up, you know, to the mountain to worship me. Says, and you're going to sacrifice him to me. Early that next morning, Abraham gets up. I'm telling you, I just slept in that day. I'm been like, man, this is what? Ooh, Jesus. Abraham pops up early that morning. Come on, let's go, Isaac. Let's get it all together. He's got some of his, you know, workers and servants with him, and they go. They pretty much get to about the foot of the mountain. They're just like, he tells everybody else, stay here. The lad and I, you know, are going to go and worship God. And Isaac, you know, he's old enough to recognize. He's like, you know what? You know, I've been a part of some of these sacrifices and stuff before, and we're missing something. Yeah, Dad, we got the wood. We got stuff to be able to make the fire. What animal? What a sacrifice at? Abraham's like, it's going to be you today, son. Now again, this is you know, again, as a parent, this is like, what? Like what? But sure enough, though, Abraham takes the knife, puts Isaac, you know, onto, you know, the wood and the fire, the altar that he's made, and he takes the knife and he's ready now to plunge it into his son. And in the midst of it, God said, all right, stop. I never wanted you to do that. I was trying to see now, and I need it for you to see, and I need it for all, you know, humanity to see what it looks like when you really trust me. And the fact now that you are able to do this, now is the seed sown that I can actually do it for my son. Where I can now, you know, sacrifice him for everybody. I just needed that seed, and I knew I could trust you. How does Abraham do that? How does Abraham literally look up and is willing to sacrifice his son that he had been believing for 25 years? How do you do that? I'm gonna tell you how he did it. Abraham had come to a place now where he's covenant minded. He has a covenant mentality. Abraham understands, even if Isaac goes down today, God's got to raise him up tomorrow. This will not end with him dead because of the covenant I have with you. And that's what you have to understand. You may be looking at a situation, it looks like it's dead, but God's made promises, and you want to remind God of the promise. He's a covenant-keeping God. Like, this cannot stay dead because of the life that you promised me. You got to come to that place, though. Covenant mentality. And therefore, when God instructs you to do something, where with your time, your talent, your money, your treasure, whatever the case is, don't let the fear of the circumstance grip you and rob you of that. Say, you know what, whatever. I don't care. This is what I'm doing. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to tithe for the rest of our life. As for me and my house, we will always build the kingdom of God. I'm going to take what God has given me. I have the talent because God blessed me with it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to use it to make sure I build his kingdom. Just like what we talked about a few weeks ago, to build God a new sanctuary. Not a building, but lives. Yeah. Lives, praise God. Yeah. I'm going to take my time to see to it that God's kingdom is advancing. There's always going to be an opportunity and temptation to fear. And you have to look it in the face and say, not here, not again, never. Say it with me, no fear here. No fear here. Yes, none whatsoever. So our final principal point on this whole series is right here. Regardless of what financial condition you are in, get rid of the fear by settling in on the covenant and choose the power of one with God by honoring him with your time, your talent, and your treasure. Yeah. Now watch this. Let's seal all of this now with a covenant enactment. The covenant enactment that God has left for us in the earth today is called Holy Communion, where we reflect upon the price that's been paid on our behalf. We receive now the benefits of the blood that's been shed on our behalf. Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, and for those of you at home, grab hold of something. Grab hold of some water if that's all you got there, cracker, piece of bread, something. Come on now. Let's get a covenant mentality today. Verse 23 says, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Yeah, it's a reminder of the awesome sacrifice that Almighty God has paid on our behalf. So with an appreciation for that, would you stand up with me? Take your covenant elements and open it up to expose the bread. Then you can further pull back the tab. Yes, I believe I can. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pull it back so I don't spill it. If you do spill it, just ask for another one. Ah, glory. Hallelujah. All righty then. These are secure. These are pandemic elements here. Hallelujah. All right, we're good enough. Yep. So please take the bread in your hand. Let's lift it up high unto heaven. Father, we are so forever grateful again for the price that you paid on our behalf. We thank you for the covenant that you've brought us into. We had nothing to bring in and of ourselves. But as a result of what you did with yourself, what you did with your son, Jesus, we now can be in your presence. We now can worship you. We now can rejoice and bask with you. And we are grateful. So we lift this bread up just as a reminder today of the price that's been paid. His body that was beaten, that was whipped, that was scourged, that was crucified, so that our bodies could be healthy and whole and well. So with that, Father, we say thank you in Jesus' name. You may receive the bread. Hallelujah. And then says in the same manner, same fashion, with thanksgiving, took the cup. Always remember that this cup is representative of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a blood that it stays and remains forever liquefied. Your blood and my blood, once it comes out of our body and it's exposed to the oxygen, it dries up. The blood of Jesus is still liquefied and alive and vibrant today, just as it was when it left his veins 2,000 years ago. And it speaks from the mercy seat of heaven. Yes, God, these are in covenant with you. And as a result of that covenant, they've been forgiven. As a result of that covenant, their sins have been washed away. As a result of that covenant, they are now righteous, just like me. So with that mentality, please receive the cup. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, lift up two hands under heaven. Let's just worship God here. We bless you, Lord God, and magnify your wonderful name. We give you all honor. We give you all glory. We give you all praise. Thank you, Father. You are faithful and wonderful unto us. Thank you for the blood that's been shed. Thank you for your power and your truth, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to your name. Yes, come on, come on. Keep worshiping right there. Come on, come on. Open up your mouth. Come on, lift up your hands. He's good. Thank you for the covenant, sir. Yeah, when temptations of fear come our way, Father, may we settle right back into this place of covenant.
You give life.
Thank you, Lord.
You are love.
Yeah.
You bring light to the darkness. You give hope.
Yeah.
You restore every heart that is broken.
Yeah, great are you.
Great are you, Lord.
Yeah.
It's your breath in our lungs.
So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, yeah.
You give life.
You give life.
You are love.
You are love.
You bring light to the darkness.
You give hope.
You give hope.
You restore.
You restore. Every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy. Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. Your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you, holy.
Hallelujah.
Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
worship you, Lord. Hallelujah to your name, sir. Hallelujah. So listen, if you're not in a relationship with this one who is great, the one who's deserving of all the praise and the one who shed blood for you, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to the King so that you can step in on the same benefits that Jesus has. That's the beauty of coming in relationship with God. Because then what becomes true of Jesus becomes true of you. It's not based upon your performance, not based upon you being perfect. It's all based upon your connection in covenant. So if you've never made that decision before, at home, here, you know, present, let me pray for you. Let me pray with you. Let me introduce you to our King. Would you please bow your heads with me just right there where you are? Glory to God. Everyone lift up two hands unto heaven. Say this out loud. Dear Father God, thank you again for being so great and loving me, giving to me your best, a part of yourself, your son Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I surrender all, and I embrace you as my master, as my savior, as my Lord, as my King, as my everything. I turn my back on sin. I reject fear, and I embrace your plan. Thank you for making me your own. In your name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, if you prayed that with us for the first time out of the sincerity of your heart, you may have prayed that before, but watch this. You know that you didn't necessarily mean it. But today, something registered on the inside. Whether at home, whether present, I want you to do something for me. For those that are at home, please text the word decided to the number that you see come up on the screen, or just go right into, you know, the chat there on the platform. There's a link that you can click. Once you do so, we'll know to be praying for you. And then two, we can send you a link to a 7-day devotional. It's called A Fresh Start, that I definitely want you to be able to have so that you can begin to take the steps in the victory that God has ordained for you. If you're here present as you're exiting, just ask one of our leaders. They'll be glad to put a physical copy of one of those devotions into your hands, because we want to see everyone going into 2022 strong for Almighty God. Hallelujah. Absolutely just blessed, glad that you came out to join us, you know, on this Festival of Nations. Praise God. Remember, we all have various different backgrounds and cultures, but we all rally around Christ. Yes, amen. Praise God. Love you. We declare God's best and blessing upon you and your family. Have an awesome and amazing week. We'll see you next week. Glory.